Welcome to All Sides with Dan Fisher. The weather is starting to turn a little bit, and with the arrival of slightly milder temperatures and indigo skies, often comes a change of mood for the food we eat. One of the go-to places in Columbus to match whatever mood you're in is the North Market, built in 1876 and still going strong with a variety of food merchants, selling everything from artisan breads to fresh spices to gourmet ice cream and much, much more. Joining me today to talk about the North Market and what's to cook this spring is James Beard, award-winning food journalist, former Columbus Dispatch food editor, and now blogger at foodcookeat.com. Robin Davis, welcome back.
Thank you so much. So nice to be here.
And listener, if you want to follow along with the conversation, pull out your copy of the North Market Cookbook, Recipes and Stories from Columbus, Ohio's Historic Public Market by Michael Turback. Robin, you wrote the foreword to this book, and in that you said that when you arrived in Columbus, the then food editor told you that you had to visit the North Market. Do you remember the first time you went in there?
I do. I remember it, back at that point, and it was 10, 11 years ago, Suzanne Loudermilk had said, oh, you know, you have to go. So I think it was a Monday, and I went right over, and on Monday, at the time, there weren't very many merchants that were open. So I was a little baffled, but I was very intrigued. And then when I went back, I believe it was that Saturday I went back, it was amazing. I mean, it was just packed with people, packed with merchants, so many things you could buy. And there is this wonderful aroma that is completely the North Market. You don't smell it anywhere else. And I pretty much fell in love with it right then.
I remember the first time was when we were wandering around the Short North, mm-hmm. when we first moved here 25 years ago. And it was in a Quonset hut at the time, and we were sort of walking around behind Yankee Trader and wondering, why do people keep going in and out of that Quonset hut over there? So we kind of wandered over, and we poked our heads. It was a Saturday. We poked our heads in, and you're right. It was just an absolute blast back then. It was mm-hmm. in the Quonset hut. It was crazy. We were going, oh, yay, this is cool, and started going there all the time. Listen, listeners, if you want to tell us the first time you visited the Short North, or I'm sorry, the North Market, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. If there's a favorite story, favorite experience, a favorite vendor you want to talk about, we'll be talking about a lot of them today because we're looking at the North Market Cookbook, Recipes and Stories from Columbus, Ohio's Historic Public Market by Michael Turback. So give us a call, 614-292-8513, and share your North Market stories. In your latest blog post, you wrote about buying fresh, how yes. you smell and squeeze the produce. Does that something that evolved, or have you always been sort of a smell it first?
I have always been a smeller. When I went to cooking school many years ago in San Francisco, one of the things they did is they took us out to farmers markets, and you know, we always wanted to know, how do you know if something's fresh, if something's good, what's the best way? And so we really went through a lot of different produce. And one of the thing I wrote about was strawberries. If strawberries don't have an aroma, then they're not going to have a flavor either. So I'm the weirdo who picks up the packages of strawberries and smells them. And I do have a three-package rule. None of them have any, you know, fragrance.
You'll give three packages a try.
I'll give three of them a try. Because every now and then, you know, I'm a huge fan of Ohio strawberries.
Yes.
There's really nothing like them. But every now and then you can get great ones from Florida. And especially this time of year, like you said, we have had such a horrible winter.
Right.
And I just want something that says spring. And I was hopeful, but yeah, there was no fragrance. I didn't ask the gentleman what that strawberry tasted like that he tried, but I can't imagine it tasted like anything at all.
Another trick is to look from the bottom up.
Yep.
Sometimes they've been sitting there too long.
Yeah, and you get the mushy red, or that little pad that they put in there is
right.
covered in red juice. And yeah, yeah, it's really too bad. But yeah, I will go through every single thing. There's a thing that you can pretty much do for everything, whether you're looking at kale and seeing if it's wilted
uh-huh.
or if, you know, the leaves are nice and fresh, or pears you usually have to buy when they're hard anyway, but you get a sense of when they're ready to eat if you push on the stem end and they yield just a little bit.
Oh, okay.
But they'll continue to ripen. But yeah, there's little tricks to everything, but fragrance is always a good way to start.
What about mealy fruit?
mealy ones.
Apples.
Ones that turn to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has to do a lot of times with how they're stored. You know, apples are, for the most part, a fall harvested fruit. And so when they come in, if they're not stored properly, they will tend to, those sugars turn to starch and they get a little bit mealy, depending on how they are. The best apples you're going to have, the crunchiest apples, are really going to be in the fall, but you can still do pretty well in the winter. But yeah, it depends if they're stored at too warm of a temperature, if they haven't been put into good refrigeration, low humidity. And there's not a whole lot of way to tell that. Yeah, I mean, pick it up and feel it. If it feels soft, put it back. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Mm. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guest is Robin Davis, James Beard Award-winning food journalist and blogger at foodcookeat.com. If you want to check it out, we've just been talking about her latest post on buying fresh and how you smell and squeeze the produce to know what's best. If you have a question or comment for Robin Davis, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. April is Earth Month, and there's an Earth Day salad in the book, North Market Cookbook, that I wanted to talk about because it can be made over in so many variations, mm-hmm. As all great recipes can, in my opinion. It's the creation of Chef Bill Glover of the Gallery Bar and Bistro. Two key ingredients, poached egg and asparagus. And this is the season for asparagus coming up.
Absolutely. And how great is that? I do believe that poached eggs are one of the best things in the world.
Me
on
too.
Anything from a hamburger to asparagus to, you know, a plate. I think it's pretty awesome. Asparagus is really great. We're still right now just a little bit early for mm-hmm. everything here, and I think we're all very anxious for it. But if you can get fresh picked asparagus and put that poached egg on top, really, really terrific. There's another recipe for a slow poached egg, and I'm not going to remember now exactly where it is, where they cook it in very low temperature water in the shell and then crack it onto, I believe it's a salad with green beans and potatoes.
Oh, yeah,
and really great. Because what happens with that salad is then your egg yolk, your warm egg yolk becomes your dressing. And it's so good. So good.
It is.
What
it's
are the
a great
variations
sauce.
You make with it?
Oh, gosh. I mean, you know, everything from the classic with hollandaise. Mm-hmm. But I usually don't use any of that anymore. To me, the egg is almost enough.
Exactly.
But, you know, any spinach. Now I'm thinking of the spinach-like.
Arugula?
Arugula.
Or watercress?
Watercress, a little sorrel sometimes. Mm-hmm. But anything wilted. On an English muffin mm-hmm. with maybe some bacon if you like that, cheese if you like that,
right.
and the egg on top.
Right.
Egg and greens is a great combination.
It's so good. Now, have you noticed there are a lot of burger places lately that are putting not necessarily a poached egg, but a fried egg
yes.
on top? I love that. I do. It's just, it's over the top and I love it.
It's over the top in a good way. At least it's not onion rings and.
Bottled barbecue sauce. I mean, whatever. But
exactly.
Yeah, give me the egg on top and I love it.
Hi, Ed in Baltimore. You're on the air. Welcome.
Yes, thank you. One of the things that a lot of people don't think about because they hear the North Market and the produce and the farmers market is the different variety of ethnic and other restaurants that are in the market. And I'd been in the market before, especially some of the meat and cheese shops that were up there. But some of the restaurants were in the entertainment book one year.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And I decided to, well, let's see. I've got some time here between the time I get off work and a meeting I have to go to, and I'm on the way, so let's swing by and see. And I found a couple of very interesting restaurants and broadened my palate just by checking out the different food things. Or if I think Taste of India, if I'm not mistaken.
Flavors of India.
Thank you.
Yes.
And I've tried several of them up there. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't think about because they hear so much about the produce and everything
right.
else that they forget about those.
There's Flavors of India, Firdos Express.
Right.
Lac Viette
is still there. Is it Lan Viette? I think it's Lan Viette now.
Yep, it's still
I haven't
there.
I haven't tried that one yet.
Right.
Yep.
The thing
pizza.
That the market really has changed, you know, when it started, it was where you went to get your provisions, to sell your provisions, whether it was produce or meat or eggs or even flowers. Now, a lot of that's changed. You can still get all of that at the market, but the majority of the merchants are prepared foods, and it really has become kind of an entertainment dining hub. So you can find really fantastic food, whether you want to pick it up and take it home or sit upstairs and eat there. It's really become kind of a dining destination.
Yeah, I love sitting upstairs. Ed, thank you for bringing that up. It's a great idea. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Thank you.
Yeah, lots to do. I'm not sure I've ever actually bought something prepared there that made it out of the building yet.
That's a good point. Now that you're bringing that up,
Jenny's, of course, has been there forever. That's where I had my first Jenny's,
and that's where she started.
Yep,
was there. Yeah, Jenny's is great, and now they have some new additions. Pistachio Vera has their second location, so you can get their fabulous macarons. You can get pretzels, which are just fantastic. They're huge, and
are they calling it the second deli or whatever, Katzinger's?
Katzinger's. I don't know exactly what they are calling it, but it's going to be a smaller version of that. And how great is that? That now we're going to have that terrific deli that we all know so well,
right,
is going to be part of the North Market as well.
You are listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher, my guest, Robin Davis. More of this conversation with Robin still to come, but first, Membership Manager Rob Walker and Morning News Anchor Steve Brown are here for an update on our spring membership drive.
And thank you very much, Ann. We are making our way slowly but surely. We still need your help, though. Give us a call at 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org. And as Ann says, this is the 89.7 NPR News Fund Drive, and our goal is to help you become a member of 89.7 NPR News because of the people who value public radio, take care of public radio. Programs like All Sides with Ann Fisher will always be here. You can do your part now by contributing at WOSU.org or calling 1-866-897-9678.
And we've got a great thank you gift this hour, Steve, that we are offering in conjunction with the discussion of the North Market. It is the North Market Cookbook, and this is our gift to you for a $10 a month sustaining membership gift to 89.7 NPR News. It's a collection of recipes and stories from Columbus's historic public market. And the foreword of the book is written by Ann's guest today, Robin Davis. The book includes stories about North Market vendors and includes great recipes from North Market spices to Omega Artisan Bakery to Taste of Belgium and Jenny's Splendid Ice Cream. All of your favorite vendors are in this book. It's a great book, great recipes, and it's our gift to you. For a $10 a month sustaining gift or a one-time credit card gift of $120 at 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
$10 a month to get that great cookbook at WOSU.org or when you call 1-866-897-9678. All Sides with Ann Fisher discusses just about every issue impacting Central Ohio. She talks to lawmakers, policymakers, local business leaders, professors, and many more types of guests. On All Sides, the interviews, they're not just 5 minutes. Ann talks to her guests for 20 minutes, 40 minutes, oftentimes a full hour. And she allows the guests to have their say. It's a civil conversation. It's not one-sided. It's a discussion. And these types of conversations really are unique to public radio. You're not going to find a show like All Sides with Ann Fisher anywhere else on the radio dial. So please support 89.7 NPR News now. Support All Sides with Ann Fisher. Visit WOSU.org or go to or call 1-866-897-9678.
And when you consider the gift again at $10 a month, the North Market Cookbook is our way of saying thank you for your support of 89.7 NPR News. We'll also include in that the WOSU member card, good for dining discounts at about 200 area restaurants and arts organizations in our area. Visit WOSU.org/member card for more information. We have some great folks ready to take your call, or you can do it online. Or if you are listening through the WOSU Public Media mobile app, just press donate now, and you'll be taken right to a place that you can become an instant supporter of 89.7 NPR News. It's very simple to do. We just ask you to come on board and be part of public radio in our community. WOSU.org or 1-866-897-9678.
And if you're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher right now, there's a good chance you'll be listening to 89.7 NPR News when you wake up tomorrow. Later, 89.7 might keep you company on your commute home. This weekend, there's a good chance you might be listening to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me or Radiolab or any other great programs here on 89.7. Since this public radio station is going to be a part of your life tomorrow, probably the next day, probably this weekend as well, you should consider joining as a sustaining member. The arrangement makes giving easier. You provide ongoing support for all the programs you will enjoy. You eliminate the whole yearly renewal process. Your membership never expires. It's really the best way to give. It's also environmentally friendly. You cut down on mailings that we send out. Your pledge does its thing while we do ours indefinitely. Become a sustaining member when you go to WOSU.org or when you call 1-866-897-9678.
And just about a minute, we'll be back to All Sides with Ann Fisher, so don't go anywhere. But before that minute is up, there's plenty of time for you to become a sustaining member of 89.7 NPR News. And when you do so, at $10 a month, we can offer you as our gift the North Market Cookbook. This book celebrates food and the people and the mission of Columbus's historic public market. You'll get some great recipes, including the Buckeye State Banana Split from Jenny's Ice Cream and many, many others. That's our gift to you when you come on board at a $10 a month sustaining membership level or a one-time gift of $120. WOSU.org. If you have the WOSU Public Media mobile app for your Android or your iPhone, you can download it and give that way. Or you can do it the old-fashioned way and talk to our volunteers and people answering the phone at 1-866-897-9678.
And the WOSU Public Media mobile app really is a great feature, especially if you give it the $7 a month level. You'll get the WOSU member card, and you can integrate that with the app. The app will geolocate where you're at, and you can find out which restaurants and attractions around you offer discounts with that member card. So please make the call now. Support 89.7 NPR News. Support All Sides when you call 1-866-897-9678 or when you give at WOSU.org.
Support comes from the Jazz Arts Group. The bright sound of the trumpet is a hallmark in jazz, and it's the feature of the Columbus Jazz Orchestra's program, Trumpet Summit, showcasing the CJ Owens' very own Byron Stripling and guest Sean Jones of the Cleveland Jazz Orchestra, April 10th through the 13th at the Southern Theater. JazzArtsGroup.org.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest this hour, Robin Davis, James Beard Award-winning food journalist and blogger at foodcookeat.com. Check out her blog. It's a great way to keep up on just the near trends and the larger trends and the always changing palette of food that's available in your market. We're talking today about the North Market and the North Market Cookbook, Recipes and Stories from Columbus, Ohio's Historic Public Market. It's by Michael Turback, a foreword written by Robin Davis. If you have a question or comment, give us a call. We'll try to help you out with some answers about the North Market or about anything cooking. Give us a call. Robin actually knows what she's talking about, but as everyone else knows, I like to sit and talk about it, and that's cooking food. 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org with your questions or comments. When you go to the North Market, do you have a pattern that you use when you go in? Do you start somewhere like I do at Jenny's or something like that?
I do. Because I will do it to a point. I almost always park in the parking lot. But if I have to come in another door, I still need to go back to the center and then turn to the left. And I walk all the way around. And then I, start making decisions about what I want.
Right.
That's just always what I do. I don't know if it came out of, how I always went in, but that's generally how I do it.
So when they move things around a few times,
it's like, wait a minute. But you get used to it, and things make a lot of sense.
And it's better. They keep improving it.
Absolutely, and that's what's really important. It's changed a lot. This isn't the first time that people have moved or people have come in and out.
Right.
So it's changed a lot in the 11, 12 years that I've been here. There's definitely been a lot of comings and goings, but yeah. See, now you can walk right in and get Jenny's and turn and walk out if you wanted to. I would never do that.
No.
But yeah, it's
never.
Great.
You have to validate somehow.
And then you say, okay, I've eaten my Jenny's ice cream. Now I need to walk around burn off those calories.
614-292-8513 if you have a question for Robin Davis. We were talking about that salad, April's mm-hmm. Earth Month, and they have an Earth Day salad in the book, the North Market cookbook that I wanted to talk about. And one of them, the salad includes a great vinaigrette, and it's great because it's just your classic vinaigrette. So once again, you can do a lot of variations on the theme, but it includes a tablespoon of fresh chopped tarragon, mm-hmm. which is one of my favorite garden delights. If it doesn't make it over the winter, I just grow it again in the spring.
Right.
And lately, I haven't been able to get a lot of herbs through the winter. Maybe it's just because of the bitter cold. But
I agree.
But what other herbs make go into a great vinaigrette? Because you don't always want to just pour everything in but the kitchen sink.
You don't. In fact, I generally keep my vinaigrette very, very simple. I do, if I'm doing a balsamic one, I'll do balsamic with a little bit of lemon juice, just so it's not overly sweet, mustard, honey, olive oil, salt and pepper. And then if I'm going to throw in a clove of garlic. Mm. But the problem with that is then if you get the little bits of garlic, it's almost too much. You know, if you can soak it in the vinegar, that's a little bit better, and take the garlic out. I love chives in a vinaigrette, if I'm doing a light vinaigrette with just lemon juice, white wine vinegar. I like rosemary to some degree but you have to go really light on it because you don't want
it's like the garlic. You don't want to be the one picking rosemary out of your teeth.
Exactly.
Right?
And it can start to taste like a pine tree. And, love pine trees. I don't mm-hmm. know if I want to eat them. I love parsley. I like thyme. I think thyme is beautiful. One thing I don't like in vinaigrettes is basil. Basil is a whole other flavor profile for me, and it usually turns black. And so I don't like that. You know, it'll turn black once you chop it and you get it in
right.
and everything. And so
I'm trying to think. You're right. I'm not sure I actually use basil because, if I've got basil, there's so many other things you can use it with.
Unless I'm making some kind of pesto vinaigrette where then it's pretty much all basil.
Right.
But that's kind of a different animal to me. But for a classic vinaigrette, I'm going to do thyme, parsley, chives. Tarragon is lovely. And tarragon is completely underutilized. I think
Agreed.
It should be in many, many things.
Agreed. Absolutely. You wanted to talk about pasta carbonara, a creation of Chef Carly Siffert mm-hmm. from the Jury Room in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Bacon's a big deal in carbonara. Bacon or some flavor note like that.
Right. And, bacon in anything makes it taste better. I love carbonara. And I think it was Nora Ephron who wrote about carbonara and heartburn. It's the great thing that you make at midnight, with your partner, your husband, your wife, your lover. And it's just this. She makes it, of course, sound so romantic. And it's also because it's what you always have. Most people will have pasta, eggs, bacon, and Parmesan cheese. And that's all there is to making it. And you really need to have all of those ingredients. So I love it for that reason. The other thing is that it's a little bit of a cooking trick. If you ever find a recipe for carbonara that has cream in it, walk away. It's fine if you want to make it, but it's not a true carbonara. It should really only have the eggs in it because the hot pasta cooks the eggs and that's what makes the sauce. And so it's that great little cooking trick. And you have to dump the hot pasta right on the egg mixture and toss it. And so you have this really incredible thing. And also, don't save it. You have to eat it all. It's not something that you save and reheat the next day. Not really. But so bacon's really important to get you that salty note. What I loved about the recipe in here is that it also included arugula, which gives you a nice bitter note to all this richness. This is a really rich pasta dish. And then sun-dried tomatoes, which add a burst of color and also a little bit of sweetness. So I loved that. I thought that was a little bit different. If there's one thing I don't like about carbonara, it is just that it's so heavy. And certainly if you're eating it at midnight, like Nora Ephron said to do.
Yeah, but you can lighten it up. They're saying just a half cup of arugula, but you can make it
I put way more than that.
And spinach would be great with it.
Spinach would be delicious.
Kale, if you chop it up.
With kale, make sure you're using a baby kale.
Right.
We try to use kale in place of arugula, and what usually happens is it's too leathery. It's too tough. It needs a little bit more cooking, unless you're getting a nice spring early kale.
Okay.
Otherwise, you want to cook it a little bit. But any of the greens. What I've been been doing lately is even using like a spring mix in my pasta salad. I do kind of the same thing of draining the pasta and throwing it on top of the greens so they wilt just a little bit. Sun-dried tomatoes, feta cheese seems to be all my favorite things. And then a little bit of olive oil. And it's really delicious. And chickpeas I put in that as well. Yeah, it's really good.
You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guest is Robin Davis. We're talking about food, if you didn't notice. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Geez, you give me so many ideas, and I'm not taking notes because I'm too busy drooling. But the issue of tossing the eggs when the pasta is hot or warm or whatever reminded me of a time when I was in Taiwan and I didn't understand. They gave me a bowl of rice, all kinds of some rice. I was really hungry and it had three eggs, raw eggs on it. I'm like, oh my God, what are those raw eggs doing there? And so I was kind of eating the rice out from and the waitress came up and looked at me like I was an idiot and just stirred the eggs all into the rice. But the rice wasn't warm anymore, so it was just this horrible mess. I didn't eat it. I was hungry, too.
Yeah.
If you have a question, we are talking about the North Market today. And the book, The North Market Cookbook, Recipes and Stories from Columbus, Ohio's Historic Public Market. If you have a story, do you remember the first time you visited the North Market? You walked in. Was it a Quonset hut back then? Is it the beautiful structure that they have now down in the Short North? Do you remember the first time you saw it and thought, wow, this town is cool or what? Give us a call, 614-292-8513. Because really, Robin, you lived in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. You lived in some pretty cool places. Having a market like that is a signature.
It really is. You know, in San Francisco, we had the Ferry Plaza. In Los Angeles, there is a permanent structure called the Farmers Market that's very similar to the North Market. And they all started out of the same things. You know, this is where people went to get their foods, but they've turned into something altogether different and great community gathering places. So I was thrilled to find the North Market and to find it to be such a great resource for food and for community. You know, you will always see food lovers and lots of them at the market.
One of the greatest food lovers in our community is the purveyor of the Greener Grocer,
yes.
Michael Jones. He is in the North Market, and you, one of your favorite recipes is one of the ones that he provides, whole grain risotto.
Right. It's a great recipe that I've been lucky enough. Michael's done demos or we've been at an event together and he makes this. Instead of using rice, which is great for risotto, he uses locally grown spelt or wheat berries, which are the whole berry.
What's spelt?
Spelt is another grain.
Okay.
And so it's the chewy kind of... both of them are a little bit chewier than rice and a lot more healthful for that matter because they have all the fiber and everything else in them. Both of them are delicious. So he pre-cooks it and then that's the part that takes the longest because it takes about an hour for it to cook. And then he sautés onion, garlic, kale, and mushrooms. You could use whatever you wanted. Mm-hmm. Then he throws in all the all these cooked berries or spelt, these whole grains, and throws in a little cream and tosses it salt and pepper. It's a beautiful dish. I made it yesterday just because I love it so much and packed it in my refrigerator for lunches this week. And I like to put in a little bit of Parmesan cheese too because I think that kind of gives it a little bit more of the risotto kind of feeling and flavor. But it's a really delicious dish, something that's really easy to do if you have all your components ready to go. And you could also do whatever vegetables you like. We have asparagus coming into season.
Yep.
That's great. In the fall, you could do, you know, cooked butternut squash. Summertime, you know, saute some zucchini, bell peppers. Really, it's something, what's in your refrigerator? Well, throw it into this dish. It would be delicious.
And by the way, once again, the bunch of kale first is blanched in boiling salted water and chopped. wrapped.
Right.
That before you don't.
Exactly. With spinach, you know, well, with baby spinach, at least
you can just throw it in.
But you really do. Now, you could tell it's a little bit of a chef recipe because he kind of does everything ahead.
Yeah.
And then that last minute assembly. When I make it, I don't usually roast the mushrooms separate. I'll just cook them in the pan with the onion mm-hmm. until they get nice and brown. It's better if mm-hmm. you blanch the kale because then it takes a little less time to cook. But if you don't, just make sure you cook it long enough and then you won't have a leathery quality to it. And it's really delicious, a really nice distinctive flavor and a great green color.
This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. More of my conversation about local food in the North Market with Robin Davis is still to come. But first, here's morning news anchor Steve Brown and membership manager Rob Walker to talk about supporting 89.7 NPR News right now.
And thank you very much, Ann. We are asking listeners to, as Ann says, support 89.7 NPR News right now. Please call 1-866-897-9678 or give at WOSU.org. Listeners are our most important source of income. Giving right now at WOSU.org or calling 1-866-897-9678 keeps programs like All Sides with Ann Fisher on the air. And it just takes a couple minutes of your time. So please invest in your future 89.7 NPR News listening by calling right now. Again, that number to call, 1-866-897-9678, or give your pledge at WOSU.org.
And as we're looking right now at this great program on the North Market, well, we have a gift to support that as well. When you consider a gift right now at the $10 a month sustaining membership level or a one-time gift of $120, we'll be happy to offer you, as our way of saying thanks, the North Market Cookbook. It's more than 200 pages of stories and recipes from Columbus's historic public market. This book includes great stories about how your favorite vendors got their start, and each vendor includes some of their favorite recipes. Several North Market farmers and growers also contributed to this book. Some recipes include crispy pigtails and market hot pepper sauce from Oink Moo Cluck Farm. A breakfast casserole from Omega Artisan Bakery. These are some great, great books. It's a great book. It's a great recipe, great stories. We hope that you take advantage of it right now. When you contribute at the one-time gift of $120 or $10 a month as a sustainer at 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
Again, 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org. And you can also use the WOSU Public Media mobile app to send your pledge. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's a two-hour daily call-in show. It's unique to 89.7 NPR News. You're not going to find it anything like it anywhere else on the radio dial. Civil conversations about state politics, issues at Columbus City Hall, events happening around the state. If a two-hour local call-in show is valuable to you as a listener, then we need you to support with a pledge. Whatever amount fits into your budget, $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever it is you can fit, please make that pledge of support now. Call 1-866-897-9678 or send your pledge at WOSU.org.
And we're going to get back to more of All Sides with Ann Fisher in just a few minutes. But in that few minutes, it's easy for you to become a contributing member of 89.7 NPR News. You call and speak to the great folks ready to take your call. You can do it online or through the mobile app. And you give us some very basic information, and there you are. You're an instant supporter of 89.7 NPR News. Simple, easy, quick, efficient, and we'll send you a very nice thank you gift. And that is the North Market Cookbook for your gift of $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120 at 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
Maybe you're wondering if you listen enough to warrant that contribution to 89.7 NPR News. Have you ever told someone, I heard it on public radio? Well, I heard this morning on All Sides with Ann Fisher. Maybe you bought a book or tried a new recipe that you heard about here. If you've ever lingered just a little longer to hear the end of a story, then yes, you do listen enough. And since you're listening now, if you're listening during the fun drive even, you know what to do. We need your support right now. Make that call, 1-866-897-9678, or send your pledge at WOSU.org.
And once again, we'll get back to more of All Sides with Ann Fisher in a few seconds, but right now there's still time for you to contribute at the $10 a month sustaining membership level or one-time gift of $120, and we'll be happy to offer you the North Market Cookbook as our way of saying thank you. The foreword is written by Ann's guest today, Robin Davis. Great recipes, great stories, and something that's very important to Columbus, and that's the North Market. You are making a contribution to support 89.7 NPR NPR News and getting this great gift. $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time credit card gift of $120 at WOSU.org or 1-866-897-9678.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Sherrington Group, financial planners and investment managers providing financial advice to client-focused solutions to help grow and preserve clients' wealth. The Sherrington Group, planning for success, managing for life, at sherringtongroup.com. This is WOSU 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I want to thank our volunteers over there, just a couple walls away, taking your calls for pledges. Thanks for all your support, volunteers. This is one of the ways they show their support, and we do appreciate it. With me in the studio, Robin Davis, James Beard Award-winning food journalist and blogger at foodcookeat.com. You might remember her as editor for many years, food editor at the Columbus Dispatch. Foodcookeat.com is a great way to keep up with Robin. Did you ever even pause about having a blog when you moved on from the Dispatch?
I didn't. When I decided to take the job at Kenyon College, it was about continuing to write and wanting to broaden what I wrote about. But it was never about not writing food. I still love food. I still, you know, I eat every day. It's a funny thing. And so I always wanted to keep writing about food, and I'm fascinated by food, love to cook, and I still get lots and lots of questions from people. So I like to calm people down a little bit in the kitchen and tell them it's okay.
So if you have a question for Robin, she's here for you. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You have written several cookbooks yourself.
I have.
What's it like to write a cookbook? What's the absolute main ingredient?
Well, the main ingredient is making sure the recipes work. It's really critical that the recipes work, because nothing will take away from your reader's experience more quickly than if they try a recipe and it doesn't work. Now, a lot of times, and I'm one of the people that will make changes as I go in a recipe, but the basics should work, you know, the amount of
the
liquid,
chemistry.
Right. And especially in baking, the first time in baking that you're baking any recipe, don't change the chemistry of it and expect to get, you know, the same results. So really making sure that those recipes work is critical. And if you can, if you have the time, have someone else test them after you do, because if you and I had made the same recipe, my guess is it would have turned out slightly different. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just because we cook differently or we read something a little bit differently than
often it's because I forget to read something.
And that happens to me too. We forget something, or we read 1.5 cups instead of 1.5 pounds. So all of that can happen. And then just keep the writing, you know, lively and interesting. I always think that those are the things that beautiful photography helps too.
Beautiful photography, really clear directions. Mm-hmm. I like my directions all on the same page. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult when you're busy to be flipping pages back and forth and to make sure you have the right ingredients and that kind of a thing.
Right.
Are you like me, where you can tell the things you like the most because the pages are threadbare, or
or stains, you know, olive oil stains, there's some flour in them. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a badge any good cookbook to be completely messed up.
Right.
In my kitchen.
Well, and that's why I love cookbooks more than cooking from, you know, an iPad or my computer. Yeah. That's what I really want, is to have that book that's well-loved.
I keep looking for the right stand, because right now I usually use like a jar of pickles or something.
I do the same thing. I use my salt pig. You know, I put that on it and then it goes flying.
Yeah, I have different weight pickle jars for it. We have an email from Wendy. She says, I really enjoy cooking Asian Indian inspired recipes, but can't find any kefir.
Kefir
leaves or curry leaves in the city. Any ideas for good sources of Asian ingredients?
Well, I would take a look at Flavors of India. I know that they carry some of them there. The other thing you could do if they don't have it is ask them where they get it, if you can maybe purchase a small amount from them. And then there's also North Market Spices. And I would be very surprised if Ben doesn't have some of those ingredients that you're looking for. He is really an expert in finding unusual ingredients, ethnic ingredients. And beyond that, take a look at some of our ethnic grocers here in Columbus. And there are a lot of them. There's Patel Brothers, which I think they have three locations. Mm-hmm. There's something called New Asia Market.
There's the big one out on Morse Road.
Right, exactly. So you may have to search a little bit, mm-hmm. but they're here. Those ingredients are here.
Absolutely. Email from Lou. Does your guest have any suggestions for finding recipes for those strange veggies I sometimes get from a CSA? Example, celery root. And is it kohlrabi?
Kohlrabi.
Yeah.
Right. You know what's great about the Greenyard
CSA
Grocer?
Is a...
Community supported agriculture.
Right.
And what they do, you basically, depending on how it works, and different ones are different, you buy a share of the farm. So you pay up front, and then every week for so many weeks, you get the harvest, whatever the harvest is. Now, sometimes that's going to be, 10 pounds of beets. It's going to be kohlrabi. It's going
but
to
be. But the smart ones try to mix it up a little bit.
They do.
It can
absolutely.
Be overwhelming.
It can. And the Greener Grocer does a really nice one. Mm-hmm. And theirs isn't one farm, it's from multiple farms, so they have a lot of sources to do that.
Right.
And the Greener Grocer is also very good about providing recipes to go with it. So I would take a look at the Greener Grocer's website. They have some beautiful recipes there. Celery root, here's what I love to do with it. Peel that ugly outside skin off, and then cut it up and throw it in with mashed potatoes. Put it in with the potatoes as you cook them. Mash it all together. You will have beautiful mashed potatoes that taste like celery. It's
yummy.
Weird, but it's really good.
So you just chop it up. You don't need to mush it up.
Cook it with the potatoes as you boil the potatoes,
all right.
And then mash it all together. I think depending on the size, cut your celery root just a little bit smaller than the potatoes. Then they'll get done at the same time. Boiling salted water. Mash it. Add your cream and your butter, salt and pepper. And they're really delicious mashed potatoes.
I found about everything in my CSA can be roasted.
And that is also true. That would have been the other thing I said to do.
If all else fails, roast it.
Roast it. Drizzle it with olive oil.
Right.
With celery root and with kohlrabi, for that matter. You want to get rid of the outside skin on it. But cut it into cubes. Cut it into matchsticks and roast it. Salt, pepper, honey, maybe. Honey is really delicious. You can get Honey Run Farm honey at the North Market and a few other grocery stores around town now, too. It's really terrific. Yeah.
Okay, great questions. 614-292-8513. If you want to get in a quick question before the end of the hour, we were talking about the chemistry of baking and how important it is. Scones.
Right.
Must be tricky because I get lots of different variations on that theme around town. Now, there's some people like their scones one way.
Right.
And some people like their scones another way. So it isn't necessarily bad. Some of them can be, though. Scones are often a sweet treat. We get, but they can easily turn savory with the right ingredients. And the North Market Cookbook includes a recipe from Vicki Hink of The Angry Baker for one, and it's one of your favorites. Tell us about it.
I love it. I made these yesterday. Feta cheese, sun-dried tomatoes. It's supposed to have basil in it. I didn't have any fresh basil. I don't trust the fresh basil in markets right now. Loved it. The key in this case is less the chemistry than the technique. Don't overwork this. Don't add too much liquid. It should be a little bit crumbly, and you should just gather it together. It's really a handmade kind of thing. Work in the butter, in your dry ingredients, and then add heavy cream, and then just gather it together until you can form it into a disc and pat it out and cut it into wedges. Really great. This recipe I thought was a tiny bit salty, but that was probably because I used
too much feta.
Oh, there's no such thing as too much feta. But it's possible. And then I also put a lot of Parmesan on top. But really delicious recipe.
And you made a suggestion afterward that it's also nice to cut it with some marmalade.
I think these would be delicious after they're baked. Take them, split them, and put a little bit of apricot jam or orange marmalade. Then you've got the sweet, the salty, really perfect for any meal. I ate one for breakfast, and I see nothing wrong with that. Yeah, really good.
Lunch and dinner.
And that is my lunch and dinner, unless my husband finds
them. Do they keep
I made these yesterday afternoon. I thought they were equally delicious this morning.
Okay.
Probably not as good tomorrow, and I don't think there will be any left.
And freeze?
But you could absolutely freeze them and then just bring them to room temperature before you before you serve them. Maybe pop them in a toaster oven to warm them up just a little bit.
An oven, not a nuke.
I'm not big on bread in a microwave. Yeah, I think it does bad things to your bread. Unless you can eat it in the 10 seconds that it comes out, it really does bad things.
Yeah. Agreed. Absolutely. There's a section in the book about Omega Artisan Baking in the North Market Cookbook. It includes a recipe for a radish tartine on rustic French bread. And when you don't have to make the bread yourself, you can focus on the topping.
Yeah.
And I thought we could talk about our favorite toppings. There's so many to talk about.
So many. I love that recipe. And that, talk about a good spring recipe with your radishes. Really, really delicious. You could even make your own butter if you wanted to. Go buy, a little bit of Snowville cream milk or cream and go ahead and beat that in your KitchenAid. One thing on that, though, wrap your KitchenAid in plastic wrap because it's messy making butter. It will splatter all over the place. So you could make your own butter, but you could also... go to Curds and Whey in the North Market. Mike Cast knows more about cheese than anyone I know, and he could recommend some beautiful goat cheeses that you could spread on the toast and top it with radishes, top it with edamame, peas, fresh herbs.
The gerbeans and egg... topping from Michael Ruhl's book, The Book of Schmaltz.
Right.
Just is slaying me.
Yeah.
I mean, that talk about something that keeps. Let's squeeze in a real quick call from Lynn in Mount Sterling. Hi, Lynn. You're on the air with Robin Davis.
Hi. And I love your show. I listen to it every day. But my question was, Robin said something about not trusting fresh basil right now. And I buy basil a lot. So I'm wondering, well, what's going on with that?
Oh, what I meant by that is basil is really, it's such a summer herb, and I have too often been disappointed that I get it, and it's either the really giant leaves, and the minute you open the package, you've got about 5 seconds to use it. It's perfectly safe. I didn't mean that in any way, but I just, I tend to think that what you see in the market is, at this time of year, it's wilted, it's not very delicious. If you find it and it looks good to you, by all means, there is nothing that gives me a feeling of summer more than fresh basil.
Can't wait. Lynn, thanks for that call. We appreciate it. Robin Davis, thanks so much for joining us today.
It was so much fun, Ann.
As usual. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks again to Robin Davis for joining us today. And now with more information on how you can support our station, here's membership manager Rob Walker and morning news anchor Steve Brown.
And thank you very much. And you can support All Sides with Ann Fisher and all the other great programs here on 89.7 NPR News when you pledge at WOSU.org. Or when you pick up the phone and call 1-866-897-9678. This is the middle of our fund drive, and listeners are the most important source of income here at 89.7. Give now when you call 1-866-897-9678. It keeps programs like All Sides with Ann Fisher, Fresh Air, On Point, Here and Now, all these great morning and afternoon programs here on 89.7. It ensures their future, and it just takes a couple minutes of your time. So please invest in your future listening here on 89.7 NPR News. Pledge now at WOSU.org. You can also use the WOSU Public Media mobile app, or you can pick up the telephone and call 1-866-897-9678.
And just a reminder, this is your last opportunity to not just support 89.7 NPR News and All Sides with Ann Fisher, but to also get our great gift this hour, which is the North Market Cookbook. This book celebrates the food, the people, and the mission of Columbus's historic public market. Make a $10 a month sustaining gift or a one-time gift of $120, and this book is yours. Recreate some of your favorite North Market dishes using the recipes in this book. Some of them include whole grain risotto with shiitake mushrooms and kale from the Greener Grocer. Sounds really good. It's 200 pages of recipes and stories about the North Market, and it's our gift to you. For a $10 a month sustaining membership level or a one-time gift on credit card of $120 at 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
Again, 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org. And this is All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's a two-hour daily call-in show. It's unique to 89.7 NPR News. You won't hear this anywhere else on the radio dial here in Central Ohio. Civil conversations, whether it be with state lawmakers, reporters who cover the state house, issues at Columbus City Hall, maybe an issue in Westerville or Pickerington or Reynoldsburg. We cover all of Central Ohio. We also talk to people from around the state, around the country, even around the world. If this two-hour local call-in show is valuable to you as a listener, if you value listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher, make your support now. Please pledge your support, 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org.
And it's very simple to support us at 89.7 NPR News. You can make that phone call right now. We've got great people ready to take your call, get you through the process in about a minute, 2 minutes at the most. Go online at WOSU.org, use the WOSU Public Media mobile app, and become an instant supporter that way. We ask you for some very basic information, but more importantly, we need to ask you if you'd like to become a sustaining member, maybe at $10 or $15 a month. Call 1-866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org and become a sustaining member today.
If All Sides with Ann Fisher is one of your favorite programs here on 89.7, now is the time to support it. All Sides brings you interesting conversations on topics that matter to you and expose you to new authors, new ideas, new cookbooks like today's show. You can participate in All Sides on the phone, via email, through Facebook and Twitter. Listeners are a real part of the conversation. They fit into the show every day. And this is only possible because of listener support. Listener support is our most important source of income. So please give whatever fits into your budget, $5 a month, $7 a month, $15 a month. Support local programming. Support All Sides with Ann Fisher. Make that pledge. Use the WOSU Public Media mobile app. Visit WOSU.org. Or use your phone to call 1-866-897-9678.
Well, just a few minutes to go, and we'll be back to more of All Sides with Ann Fisher. So we have to ask you now to call or go online and support WOSU. It's a simple and easy phone call to make, and we hope that you do so right now. And maybe that gift level of $120, it's a $10 a month sustaining gift, we can offer you is our way of saying thank you to North Market Cookbook. It's more than 200 pages of stories and recipes from Columbus's historic public market. The book includes great stories about how your favorite vendors got their start, and each vendor is including some of their favorite recipes as well. Some of the recipes include cherry wood smoked tomato gazpacho with watermelon salsa from Wishville Farms Produce, and a breakfast casserole from Omega Artisan Bakery. All these recipes and more is available as our gift to you when you contribute at $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120 at WOSU.org or 1-866-897-9678.
Believing in public radio means you believe in the growth and the health of our community and our society at large. It means you believe everyone should have the opportunity to listen, gain information, and develop as individuals. And it means that through the understanding of other people, it's possible to bring positive change to the world. 89.7 NPR News is a mission-driven organization. We're dedicated to those principles, and we're here to be your partner in the process. So please make a positive difference right now. Help support All Sides with Ann Fisher and all these other great community resources. That's really what they are. They're community resources here on 89.7 NPR News. And we need your support to keep them coming. 1-866-897-9678 or WOSU.org.
And if you've never given before, today's a great day to support 89.7 NPR News. You might want to consider coming on board with a $60 basic membership level. You can do that at $5 a month as a sustainer. So call or go online right now at 1-866-897-9678 and make that first-time contribution to show your support for All Sides with Ann Fisher.
And this is listener-supported WOSU FM and HD1 Columbus and streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station, a service of WOSU Public Media.